like nothing you have ever heard before. It's a tough room. It's the place to be. Thrive to survive. It's Taz. It's the Moose. It's CBS Sports Radio.
1, 2.
You know it's every day. Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport. You know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL to college games. They always bringing the knowledge. Nobody ever could try to go stop it. Only be talking the truth. Only be talking the truth. Ayy. You know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Ayy.
Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. James and Billy across the way. Bogus, your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern time. We go. Hour left to play with. David Sampson joined us last hour. CBS Sports HQ MLB Insider ran around all things around Major League Baseball as the trade deadline came and went on July 31st. Welcome to August. A good Thursday, one and all. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get to it. Kicking off the third and final hour. Here we go, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Astros pull off blockbuster, acquire Zach Greinke from Diamondbacks.
Well, they certainly do. You know, Zach might not be fired up, but the Astro fan is certainly fired up. And I think Rob Manfred was fired up because they were looking for a... Taz, I think the baseball fan was looking for a big splash move. As we discussed earlier in the show, one trade deadline this year, not two.
Right.
It's just July 31st. There's no clearing waivers, then getting traded, guys getting tried to push through waivers, as you saw by August 31st. It used to be, you know, September 1st, whatever your roster was, that's what the one you had to take into the postseason, right? So those were the guys that you needed to be there. Now it's July 31st. You can't make a trade with another team after July 31st at 4 o'clock Eastern time. And yesterday, as we discussed, kind of boring.
Very.
People were waiting. You had Bauer to the Reds trade the night before. You had over the weekend Stroman getting traded from the Blue Jays to the Mets. Everyone's surprised. And everyone's saying, oh, here it comes. I smell it. It's coming. It's going to be an active day. 9 a.m., 10 a.m., 11 a.m., 12. It's coming. Yeah. It's coming by like 3:30. A lot of people threw their hands up and said, this stinks.
I started to around 3:15 p.m. Eastern. I was watching. I wasn't locked in all day. I locked in there probably right after lunchtime and was checking it all out. And I'm like, man, this is like really lagging. Something's going to happen. And you're watching social media. You're watching MLB Network. All this stuff. Nothing. And then, you know, then like I was saying earlier, I felt bad for the host, the studio host and analysts that were a work of MLB on TV because they were just, you could just tell they were trying to make something out of, there was nothing happening. There was nothing of substance. And then the Greinke thing went down.
Yeah.
You know, late. That was like right at 4, after 4, whatever. And that was like, save those guys.
No, it did. And give the Astros credit. They're now the favorite to get through the American League. Obviously, potentially win a World Series as organization understands it. They've got, obviously, positional player depth within the entire farm system. They didn't trade their top two guys. And they get Zach Greinke. That's controllable past this season with Gerrit Cole being a free agent after this year, Taz, and a guy that can help you win a World Series this year. So for the Astros, they're going for it, and that's really what you want to see your franchise go out there and do, and give credit to Houston because that threesome of Verlander, Cole, Greinke come October is going to be very difficult for any team to deal with.
Absolutely. And so Arizona, no one's really talked much about it, but so what the Diamondbacks get, they got four top 20 prospects from the Astros system. So that's according to Baseball America. So, you know, if you're a Diamondback fan, you're probably not too excited today. It's not a lot of reason, but it's not, unfortunately for them, it's not about the D-backs. You know, it's about the Astros right now. And man, with that starting rotation, with those starters, I mean, it's just, they're potent. Just look at their ERAs. Are just potent. And you know, we talked at the top of the show about the Yankees, and I was, you are a Yankee fan, I'm a Met fan, and for those that are new to the show, that's the backstory here. And I was asking you your thoughts on, like everybody else, what they're saying about the Yankees not making any moves.
That's disappointing.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, Taz. You can look at all the guys that potentially were available and the rationale in terms of the reason why the Yankees didn't get them. Ray getting pulled off the market by Arizona. Mets were never trading any of their guys to the Yankees. Bauer, you know, getting traded to Cincinnati. Stroman getting traded to the Mets. The Mets then trying to flip Stroman to the Yankees, asking for their top two prospects in their farm system, when the Mets didn't even trade two top 100 prospects to the Blue Jays for Stroman. So, you know, Bumgarner wasn't available. Greinke didn't want to come to the Yankees. Minor didn't want to come to the Yankees. They both had partial no-trade clauses. So a lot of rationale and reason behind it. Cashman getting ripped apart, including what is a tremendous back page of the New York Post.
What do you got there? I didn't look
at Brian Cashman.
The walking oh my God, that's really bad. The killer day for the Yankees as zombie-like Cash which watches Astros land Greinke to walking dead. Oh my God.
It's tremendous.
That's, yeah. A lot of people might not have access to outside of the tri-state area. Well,
maybe
we'll take a picture.
But you know what? Yeah, we'll take a picture and
we'll
send
put
it out
on social media.
It is great. It is great.
Let's take a listen, if you don't mind. Let's listen to Brian Cash.
Yeah, here's Cash.
Various reasons, it didn't work out. So certainly disappointed. You'd like to have more if you could. But I didn't have any realistic chance to, in my mind, based on the dialogue, to do so.
Yeah, basically the Yankees were never
really
close.
He didn't want to pay.
Yeah, he didn't want to pay the King's ransom when it was out there. Now, Jeff Luhnow did. It's a general manager of the Houston Astros. Here he is talking about the fact of acquiring Zach Greinke. Take a listen.
I can't believe we just added Zach Greinke to this rotation and this team. I mean, probably the same reaction, because I wasn't sure it was going to happen. And throughout the afternoon, there was times I thought it was dead and times I thought it was 50-50. But at no point did I think it was over 50-50. And then when it all came together, we just looked at each other in the room and said, is this really happening? It was kind of had to pinch ourselves.
Yeah, pinched himself indeed.
I think it's important to mention, Moose, and you mentioned it in the first segment of our program here, that as great as Greinke is, you know, he had no trade deal. He had a list of teams he didn't want to go to.
Yep.
And the Yankees were one of those teams.
Yeah, they didn't want.
So in defense to Cashman and the Yankees, there was no shot of this happening.
No, they were never going to get
him. That's, I think that was important. You mentioned it earlier, and it's anybody who's just joining the show now.
Right. So he didn't want a part of it. I think the Yankees, you know, when there was a potential, not yesterday, I'm talking about years ago, they didn't look at Greinke with those conversations and look at him as being a New York guy either.
Right. Well, yeah.
You know, dealt with a lot.
Stroman could be a New York guy. He's from Long Island.
Yes, he's now pitching for the Mets. Exactly. I know. Thank you. Here is Luhnow saying that, it was a hefty price, but it worth it.
We gave up four of our top prospects to get Zach Greinke, but we'll have him not just for the balance of this year, but also for 2 years. So he'll pair with JV as two guys that we can pencil into our rotation, or actually put in pen into our rotation for the next 2.5 years.
Rich get richer, buddy. Rich get richer.
Well, they do, and the Astros are now the favorite. On a deadline day, as David Sampson joined us earlier on, Taz, he said you saw some moves, or a lot of moves, but they were more like August moves than they were July 31st moves. Got depth guys. It wasn't the over-the-top. Now, you know, Castellanos landed, went from the Tigers to the Cubs. That'll help out their outfield. He'll platoon out there for Chicago and for Joe Maddon. They try and win another World Series. The Atlanta Braves strengthened out that bullpen. Ed and Mark Melancon also trained for Shane Green as well. So the Atlanta Braves trying to strengthen a weakness. Their bullpen has been an absolute disaster. I think it surprised a lot of people that Zach Wheeler and Noah Syndergaard, at least Zach Wheeler, is still a Met. An impending free agent after the season. So.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, with the Mets, you know, you got DeGrom, you got Stroman, you got Syndergaard, you got Wheeler, you got Mats, we got all these arms. And we just can't play good defense behind him, and we have no bullpen. And
he won six in a row.
I know, but not really powerful teams we're beating.
I'll win today, seven in a row. Get to two games under .500.
I wore one of my Met hats today.
There you go, Mr. Met.
Mr. Met, right?
Bright
there.
Orange.
Yes, that's my gimmick. Yes, no. So
target
anyway.
That thing from space.
It's a cool hat.
It is. I'm just joking.
You're a Yankee fan. You like Mr. Met? Everybody loves Mr. Met.
I'm just joking around.
No, do you like Mr. Met?
I do.
I just want to know.
I do.
Answer me. Yes.
I do like Mr. Met. Yes. Who doesn't?
Everyone likes Mr. Met, right?
Wow.
I'm sorry. A little hypersensitive to us.
We're at a 10.
Mr. Met. That's what happens.
I mean, wow.
My leg's going.
I thought you'd invented Mr. Met. Highly invested. Yes, he's great. I love him.
Yeah.
Mrs. Met as well.
All yeah, right. She loves Syndergaard.
Number two.
Michael Thomas inks huge new deal with Saints.
Oh, no, he does.
We kind of broke this news last night on yesterday on the show.
Kinda, yeah, kinda. Well, first show here on CBS Sports Radio to talk about it.
That's right.
I came down. He was holding out. He gets paid. Had the leverage. 125 catches a year ago. Makes that offense goes. Make Drew Brees' job a lot easier. Taz. He gets 5 years, $100 million with $61 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean...
For Mike Thomas.
It's great. It's great. I mean, really. And I was saying, man, if you're Drew Brees, you got to be... And this is before... You know, what this holdout list? Like 7 days, 8 days, something like that? It was nothing. So, good job by the Saints. Drew Brees had to go to bat and say to the front office, listen, please, let's get this done. We don't need this distraction. You know, we got a really good squad here. Let's get her done. And they did, man. And that's a big deal for New Orleans. And having Mike Thomas locked in, he's the real deal. Real deal. Watch number 13 catching passes from Drew Brees. They got that potent offense with Ted Ginn sitting there. You got, what's his name, Kamara in there. You know, they got a really good team. So, real good defense. And it's a massive money deal for this guy. And I think he was talking about it yesterday, receiving yards last year. I think he was like sixth in receiving yards in the NFL. So Mike Thomas, Michael Thomas. So great player. Great deal.
He gets paid and he deserves it. Now, do I look at him as being Julio Jones? I don't. I don't look at him as good as DeAndre Hopkins. Well, there are a number of guys in the NFL I probably just from an explosive ability rather have than Thomas, but I mean, he's still an amazing player. Physical at the point of attack, get his hands up. There's things to like love about Mike Thomas, the player. Was very productive and good at Ohio State, Taz. He's been remarkable with the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, no, big deal. And you mentioned Julio Jones in passing there. No, we didn't talk about it. You know, he's actually, I'm sure you saw it. Apparently, he's sitting out all preseason games. He's not playing at all. I mean, I got no problem with that. You?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's a phenom.
I think he'll be ready to go. He's such a good athlete,
too. He's amazing athlete. Yeah.
I worry about guys sitting out, Taz, that aren't workaholics.
Right. Well, Julio Jones is.
I worry about guys that we know can, you know, maybe put on weight or not keep themselves in shape. I worry about those
lazy
guys.
Asses.
Right.
I got you.
You can put it that way, too. Okay. Yes. Next.
Number three.
Ezekiel Elliott's new deal, not even close to happening.
Yes, he's down in Cabo.
Thank you.
His agent's house. That's where he spent it. Remember when he was suspended in 2017? That's where he spent his time as well.
Yeah.
You know, beach work, whether it be working the jump rope, whatever it might be for Ezekiel Elliott down there in Cabo. They're not close. And, listen, Jerry Jones can talk tough all he wants, Taz. If they don't have Ezekiel Elliott week one, they don't have him for a majority of the year. Say he holds out the entire season. Cowboys are going to go from a playoff team to a non-playoff team right quick because the entire team is built around him.
Absolutely. That's the truth. And, you know, we heard Jones talking the other day. We played the audio of it, man. It's like he's acting like they don't need, you know, you don't need to win a champ. I'm paraphrasing. You don't need a top halfback or running back to win a championship. And, you know, it's kind of like the narrative of the NFL now with the NFL running back. It's almost becoming like it's such a heavy pass league, and we know that, and we love watching guys make great catches and great quarterbacks making great throws and all this stuff. Makes the game exciting. You get chunks of yards. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm an old school traditionalist. There's always a running game. The running game is vital in football. You and I talked about this the other day. I think we're on the same page with this. And I'm with you. Zeke Elliott, that offense is built around him. They need him. He was the number one rushing running back that led rushing last year in the NFL. Number one. Okay, no matter what you may think of him off the field, when the whistle blows and that ball's kicked off, that guy is a stud running the football. And that offense and Dak Prescott needs him badly. Actually, speaking of Dak Prescott, let's take a listen to him, Moose, to Dak about the contract talks.
I think my
optimism, just that alone allows me to put that in the back of my mind and not think about it. I know I've got a great team that's going to do a good job with that, and I'm confident in my agent and all the people handling that, confident in the front office here of getting that done. So that's not my concerns. And any time that I can think about that or any time that I go toward that, I think the only thing I'm doing is taking away from this team and taking away from our goal as one team. So for me, that's my whole focus, is just this team getting better, improving, and focusing on our goal of playing at the end of the year.
Obviously, Dak was talking about his own contract, because him and Amari Cooper, they're up this year where Zeke's not. But I mentioned Dak Prescott because he's going to need Zeke Elliott in that backfield big time. Okay, and I'm not a huge fan of Dak Prescott as a player. I think he's a solid quarterback at best. But he's going to need Zeke Elliott running that football. The Cowboys need Zeke Elliott. So we'll see what happens. If this thing lingers like it happened with Lev Bell with the Steelers last year, different story here. This is going to be tough for them. Because they're going to have a good team. The Cowboys will be real good.
Yeah, they'll be a good team. It's different because you look at the Steelers, Taz. They've got a quarterback you trust to be able to throw out of the pocket.
Yeah,
they still had Antonio Brown.
Yep,
I mean, now you look at this scenario where, yes, Amari Cooper, but Cooper is not Antonio Brown, and Prescott's not even close to the passer that Roethlisberger is. So there is a great disparity.
Agree.
No, and I know. I'm just emphasizing that point. And we're in agreement there. The team is built around Elliott, so that's where his leverage is. That's why you listen to Jerry Jones. You're right. They don't need a rushing champion to win. But for the Cowboys to win, they need Ezekiel Elliott.
That's a good point. And the thing is, and one more thing on the Steelers-Cowboys, I know that's not really the topic, but still. And the other thing is, James Conner, the running back, was a backup then for Lev Bell for the Steelers. Tremendous running back. And you knew he was tremendous coming out of college, coming out of Pitt. Okay, Darius Jackson for the Steelers, or Tony Pollard, or Mike Weber, these guys are not to that level of James Conner. They're just not.
Not
the same type of running back.
No, they are not, Taz. So, it'll be fascinating. That doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon. There seemed to be traction between Elliott and his camp and Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones, and the Cowboys a couple weeks back. Remember we mentioned it at the time when he was the threat
that he was going to
hold out and that he was going to be out of the country and the like. Everyone would say, well, there's conversations. They seem to be going in the right direction. Now the reports are the conversations have gone nowhere. Where will it end? We'll find out. The other thing you get concerned about is not being in shape, Taz, but this, where he's not getting the hits, as we discussed last year, taking those hits on his body, all of a sudden missing a lot of camp, and then stepping in week one and taking those punishing hits. Because if you don't kind of get that, I would say, a little bit of a thick skin to it, or, you know, your body's not used to it. You know, it's been off for a while. You know, that
takes a little time to get back.
That,
you know, his body is calloused.
Calloused, that's it.
Right,
that's right, to
taking hits.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, he hasn't. And, you know, even though they're not hitting as much as they used to, the NFL teams
they
in camp,
hit.
But they're still hitting. So the thing is, you know, they got to figure it out. I mean, as far as shape, yeah, I'm with you. I think he'll look good. He'll be in physical. Like, he'll look physical. He'll look in shape. I don't think he's a lazy guy. But football shape's different than just being in shape. It's tough to replicate that in Cabo at your agent's mansion on the beach.
Yes.
I mean, you know, really.
Nice spot to hang out, though.
It really is. I mean, you know, if you're just going on a little vacay Jones, it's nice, but preparing for the NFC?
Yeah.
No. Probably not a place I'd want to hang out. No.
We come back. We'll do a little bit more NFL, Taz. The campgrounds, right?
Oh,
that comes
yes.
your way next. It's Taz. It's Moose on what is a busy Thursday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. We got the campgrounds coming your way. 855-212-4227. Final time this morning. Here is Andrew Bogish. What's going on, Andrew?
Moose.
All righty.
Sorry, hey, Al. Moose, Taz. The Mets have the rest of the National League right where they want them.
Right.
First pitch. Swinging a ground ball right field. Base hit. Around third, Altair's being waved home. Jay up with it. He will not make a throw to the plate. Altair scores standing. Davis stops at second. And on at first with an RBI single is Todd Frazier. The Mets are leading by a score of 2-1.
Howie Rose on Mets Radio. Michael
yes.
Conforto smartly added a two-run single. Top nine in Chicago. That gave Edwin Diaz enough wiggle room to not blow another save.
Did you see DeGrom get out of that jam early in the game?
Third inning, yeah.
Oh, wow. You saw it?
I did, yeah.
Unbelievable.
The solo homer Diaz allowed just changed the final score to 4-2. The Mets have now won six straight, and they held on to Zach Wheeler at yesterday's deadline. The Giants kept Madison Bumgarner as we expected. The Jays couldn't move closer Ken Giles, and Robbie Ray stayed with the D-backs, but they did send Zach Greinke to the Astros for four prospects. Now, Gerrit Cole might hate Trevor Bauer, but he loves him some Greinke.
I think he's just a wonderful human being.
And he can pitch. As they wait for reinforcements, though, the Astros lost in Cleveland last night 10-4. All those Indian runs on homers, including three-run shots from Roberto Perez, Carlos Santana, and Jason Kipnis. Milwaukee a 4-2 win in Oakland. The Rays held off the Red Sox 8-5. Kyle Hendricks and the Cubs blanked the Cardinals 2-0. Those two again tied atop the NL Central. 11 Ks for Jose Barrios and the Twins 7-4 win in Miami. And the Giants beat the Phillies 5-1. The Dodgers did not make a major move yesterday, but will get a bump from the minors instead. Top pitching prospect Dustin May expected to debut tomorrow. The Hall of Fame game, a little less than 12 hours away. The Broncos and Falcons kick off the preseason in Canton. Joe Flacco will not play for Denver. Let's get some details now on the five-year extension Michael Thomas is signing with the Saints. All of this courtesy of Pro Football Talk. The most realistic max value of the deal is $96.25 million. It'll be hard for Thomas to actually get to the reported $100 million. He would need to reach some lofty bonuses in the final years of that contract. At signing, Thomas guaranteed $35.64 million. The MLS All-Stars took a 3-0 loss from Atletico Madrid in Orlando last night, and former U.S. women's player Kate Markgraf expected to be named the program's first general manager. Her first big decision will be replacing head coach Jill Ellis, who announced earlier this week she is stepping down. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Have a good rest of your Thursday, bud. Good job here. Let's get to it. Here we go, the campgrounds.
Time to go camping, boys and girls. Who better to go sit around the campfire and spitball some football, eat some pork beans, brisket, and throw back some cold ones than with Taz and the Moose?
It's Taz and the Moose, just talking away. It's all you ever heard talking smack since the day they was born. It's Taz and the Moose, just talking away. It's all you ever heard talking smack since the day they was born.
So awesome, man. All right. Let's begin our journey down in Dallas with the Cowboys. And here is Stephen Jones. We've mentioned it in terms of the contract negotiations. Prescott, Elliott holding out down in Cabo. Here he is, courtesy of SiriusXM NFL Radio.
That just comes with the territory. And, you know, that's my goal is at the end of the day, we figure out a contract for Dak, for Amari, for Zeke. You know, that's fair. That's one they can be satisfied with. But at the same time, they've got to understand there's a real salary cap out there. And any money that we save, you know, in their situations, and it's not their job to manage the cap. I agree with that. That's Jerry's job, my job, Will's job. That's our job to do. But any money we save is not going in Jerry's pocket. It's going to another football player. I mean, it's a hard cap. It's reality. We have to deal with it. And, you know, at some point, the money we spend on these great players are going to keep us, unfortunately, from probably signing a couple guys that we'd like to keep.
Man, well, I'll tell you, Stephen Jones, real quick. Stephen Jones, tell me his voice is not perfect with the better music we got here.
Yeah, very,
perfect fit with the Southern draw.
It does work with that. Funny, right? But that's where you got to prioritize as an organization of who to pay, not to pay. In the same breath that he's saying it's not their job, he's kind of putting it on them to take a little less money and do what's right by the team when that's not their job. Their job is to maximize their value as football players, make the most money they possibly can. Now, some guys, after having historic careers, will give a little bit back, and they're not going to be greedy. And you know, you look at what Tom Brady's done up in Foxborough with the New England Patriots, and you know that's his right to do it at that time. And I'm sure the Patriots will be paying him for the end of time because he seems to be ageless. But Taz, that's for the Dallas Cowboys. They got to look at and say, okay, who's the most important guy for our team right now? And that guy's got to be Elliott. But Stephen Jones is looking for a little bit of a give back in order to be able to take care of everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they got to watch, man. They, like, I talked about the lack of depth as far as, you know, quality depth. I mean, just with running back at Dallas Cowboys, same with the quarterback spot. I mean, Cooper Rush, if you don't have Dak Prescott, you have Cooper Rush doing the thing there. Mike White, I mean, these are not guys that are, you know, ready for prime time.
No.
I mean, so you got to hope Dak can stand his feet, and God willing, he stays healthy. But you got to hope you come to terms and get something done with him. I think Dak is trying to do the right thing and try to be that team guy. He's never caused them an issue. We talked about this the other day, you and I both. So I'm sure they'll come to terms somehow, some way with him. But look, you got those three guys from Cooper, Prescott, and Elliott. I mean, that's your offense. I mean, besides your offensive line, those are your guys.
Yeah.
Those are your stars.
You know? And then they're all in contract scenarios, situations that the Dallas Cowboys are looking to rectify. All right, let's head out to Cleveland, Ohio, shall we? Here is Baker Mayfield. Got into it, confronted his receivers, didn't like the fact that he was they were not coming back to him when he was scrambling, and looking back at him. Here he is about the confrontation with his wideouts. Take a listen.
I'm not a jackass. You got to talk through it. Going to harp on it, and then I'm going to talk to him. I mean, those guys know that that's a big part of our offense, and they know that. It's just the fact that if we get lazy and we let things slide, we need to be over-communicating right now. That's what the good teams do. I mean, like I said, you got to be on the same page.
Good. What's the matter?
No, it's just he's got to watch. He's got to be careful what he says, man, because he's going into his second year. He's not wrong. I mean, you don't have to be an NFL quarterback to realize how important it is to do what he's saying. If you are scrambling, you can't just, all right, I'm going on my route as a receiver or tight end or whatever. My quarterback's in trouble. Well, no, it's all right. I'm just going my route. No, your route means nothing then. You got to get open for him. I know what he's saying, and he's right. You don't have to tell the media that. You got to take it on the chin. You got to be, you know, you're not Tom Brady. You don't have the legacy of a whatever the history of a Ben Roethlisberger or you know anybody. You know, you're not. That's not who you are right now. You're a young guy that's brash, cocky, chip on the shoulder. That's great. All those adjectives. Yeah. That's all that stuff's great. He's an excellent player. You can't be, in my opinion. He can't be saying what he said there. I just don't think that's smart of him to say that publicly.
Listen, I guess I'm going to cut him a little bit more slack, Taz. I'm not telling you that it's that's right. I didn't have as big of an issue with it as you did. I mean, I think he's just trying to kind of be open about the entire process and what's going on. And I think Mayfield, this is who you bought into, Taz. This is him. He's an outspoken guy.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to change. I think he's going to continue to be outspoken. And he also doesn't mind telling you how he feels. And he feels like it's not going to impact anything about his play on the field. You know, he doesn't really, I mean, he's as confident a young quarterback as you've seen in quite some time.
There's a better way to handle it. I understand what you're saying. I mean, he could just say, you know, I got to do a better job of getting the ball out of my hands quicker while, let's say, I'm in the pocket or while I'm on a rollout. Just take it on the chin. Do the job, as you say, in the wrestling business. Don't pass the heat. You know, I mean, this is what I know. It was a game, different situation with the Steelers. That's what happened with Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown.
Got five kids.
Remember, in the end zone, that play where he...
But Roethlisberger
that was in the game.
But Roethlisberger also went
on the radio,
radio and called out Brown.
Well, what's the difference, though, if this guy's in the middle of getting interviewed? He's got mics in front of him. He knows it's going to go public.
I mean, don't you think it's a little bit different?
I
know that, but if I'm on a paid spot, on a radio where it's getting promoted and I call out Antonio Brown, a little bit, I mean, I look at it a little bit differently than what he did there yesterday, but he also said, listen, I'm not going to be a jackass. We're going to talk it out.
Right, he did say that.
He did say that. It's not like he's going in there saying, what are you doing?
I know. But you know Moose as well as me. There's a way he could have.
Oh, I'm not saying you're wrong, Taz.
That,
I said you're
you
right,
know?
But I'm going to give him a little. I thought Roethlisberger was worse. I mean, I thought.
He buried Antonio Brown.
He buried him. Radio.
He did. And he was getting paid. He did bury him.
Cashing that check.
You're right, but the thing is, I know what you're saying about public radio on terrestrial. It was a national terrestrial radio. I got it.
Yeah.
But still. You know.
No, this is going to get out.
Mic, right, it's going to get out. He's Baker Mayfield. Yeah. You have a mic in front of your face.
Right.
You know.
Any way you look at it, that's going to be consumed by the public.
Right. Now, check this out. So, would we have even be talking about this? Would we have pulled this order?
No.
We cover it if it was Sam Darnold? No.
Probably
if it
not.
Was Josh Allen, no. This kid here, he is, you know, he's abrasive.
Right. And he's got a heat. Yeah, he's got a lot of heat around.
Yeah, he does. And I like him as a player. I'm not, I want people to say it and understand, like, man, I'm not burying him for that. He's got to work on his, he's not an 8-year veteran in the league that went to an AFC playoff or championship, you know?
No, he's not. He certainly isn't. Jarvis Landry, his teammate with and one of those wide receivers, Taz, said, you know what, focus here. He's trying to win the chip. Take a listen.
For us, I mean, obviously just understanding that we're not buying into what everybody else has set out for us. You know, we have it in our minds what we want to accomplish, but we also understand that we have to take steps in the right direction starting today, you know, and since, what, 6 days ago, you know, and I think we've been doing that. We just got to continue to find ways to continue to put it together. And in September 8, we get the ball rolling. But obviously, there's only one goal in mind, you know, for us. And
see,
that's the championship.
That's the right way to handle things.
Yeah.
Okay, us, right, not positions getting called out, not it's team. And there's no heat. I'll tell you what, back to Mayfield, you better be careful. Okay, you better be careful because his new wide receiver that came from the Giants, that thing could fall apart quick if this guy's going to start chirping about receivers and routes who are not coming back to him.
Right.
And that Beckham will go off.
No, I know. So, no, true. You're right about that.
That honeymoon will end.
Right. But Beckham's also coming from a guy who's basically like a statue in
yeah,
the pocket.
Statue of Liberty just...
He barely moves.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So yeah. He's not used to guys scrambling and lengthen out the plays.
That's a good point.
Come back to the football.
Like,
what?
Wow, quarterback can run?
Right, exactly.
Who is that? That's the quarterback. Really?
This is my days at LSU.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, final stop on our campground tour this morning. How about out to Los Angeles, Jared Goff, the Rams quarterback. They're looking to get back to the Super Bowl, this time win it, Taz. He said, the storylines, the drama around his star running back, Todd Gurley, tad unfair. Take a listen.
He doesn't need to become anything. He's done everything that, you know, we've asked of him and more in the past few years, and I think there's, you know, a narrative around him right now that's pretty unfair, and if you think about it, we didn't play him in the last two games, so he was sitting. The playoff game, he rushed for 100-something yards and a touchdown. The New Orleans game, we didn't rush for many yards at all, and then the Super Bowl, we scored 3 points, so it wasn't just Todd.
Yeah, and why was he sitting? I mean, that's the thing.
They didn't use him.
No, right, exactly. It's a rhetorical, sarcastic question. Like, right, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't use him. So, you know, I appreciate what Goff's doing, being a team
supporting
guy.
Supporting his teammate.
Yeah, he is. Unlike Baker Mayfield. That would have said, I don't know, man. Hopefully he can run
Rivers,
well. We'll see.
As we discussed yesterday with Gordon. Remember, say, we'll be fine. That position's loaded.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
with Gordon.
With Rivers. With Phil Rivers.
Yeah, with Gordon.
Ripping
right.
That Melvin. Oh, yeah, no, we're good there. Melvin Gordon, don't come back. We're fine.
Right.
Thanks, Phil.
I know, exactly.
Well, Gurley was, I think it was like
can
third
get
in
your
rushing.
Head out of my pocket.
Yeah, I know, really.
Take money from me. I mean,
Gurley, even though he was banged up a little bit, he still was. He's a great running back.
He's
great in college. He was third in rushing last year.
Taz, we know now here what the situation with Gurley is. He's got an arthritic knee condition.
Yeah, and that's a problem when you're a running back.
That's a problem when you're a running back. Yeah. So they were talking about him being healthy. There's nothing wrong. We're watching these playoff games where he's not being used. And you say, why is Todd Gurley with his helmet on in the Super Bowl and not being used?
That's
and we're
crazy.
Like, what is going on? And, you know, but he mentioned Goff there, and that was on SiriusXM NFL Radio. He said, well, we only scored 3 points in the Super Bowl. Yeah, but you also didn't use Todd Gurley a lot.
Play him. He didn't play. Hardly played.
They go to the sideline, like Rams have got 3 points, and there's Gurley basically taking water from one of the training staff.
Just hanging out, holding his helmet in his hand. Like, okay. Yeah. That's fine.
Hello.
Strange scenario.
Yeah.
So there you go. Campgrounds here for this Thursday morning. It is Taz and the Moose with you. Come back. We got the undercard storylines that we have yet to hit upon. Maybe you're at work, heading off to work, listening at home. Maybe you're listening to the podcast later on.
Maybe you're on vacation on a beach listening to the show.
That could be as well.
How about that?
Enjoying a beautiful sunrise sound of our voices.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Taz.
It goes together, no?
What's up?
That goes together well.
Yes.
All right, you're on the beach
like
with your
peanut
family,
butter and jelly.
Listen to Taz and the Moose.
Yeah.
What better?
Nothing better. That's as good as it gets in life.
And then later on, you can download the Taz Show. Yeah. You want to hear some wrestling stuff.
That's it.
Yeah, you can do that too. Just hang out on the beach.
No doubt.
Taz and the Moose.
Or SummerSlam is what, a week, 2 weeks away?
Correct the mundo, sir.
You're
July
be doing
11th.
A special? August 11th.
I guess that news just broke publicly.
I thought that was
then.
Out there.
No, it's not.
I'm sorry. I had no idea.
Hey, Moose, you're great at promoting, so who better than you to promote it?
I have no idea.
No big deal.
August 11th, not July 11th.
Yeah, that too. Oh, geez, I better make sure I know which day I'm going to come to the studio and do the show. August 11th, my bad.
I apologize. Yes.
Yeah. I thought that was...
I was not told to keep that on the DL.
That's true. You were not.
I was not told that.
You were not. That's true.
To pull down the curtain. So.
This is what happens when some of us assume things I should not have assumed.
Oh, stop. It's good news.
I mean, there was a certain way I wanted to promote with my team.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
All right. So
I apologize.
Just make sure you promote it next week. Every show.
Yes, every show, Taz. We'll promote it. Yes. Taz Moose on this Thursday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227. That's brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. So now you can get your highlights anytime, anywhere, right? I mean, you could, on your smartphone, iPad, whatever device you have, computer, you can get them all over the place. You can check it out and everything. There was a time, though, especially when you look at the National Football League, that there was a show that you'd watch every single week on HBO if you had it at home. That was called Inside the NFL, where you'd check out the highlights from the week before, and they'd also have where you'd get shots of the sideline as well, Taz, where you'd see a little interaction between the players and everything like that. Right. And there were, you know, two legendary guys when I first started watching Inside the NFL, and it was Len Dawson.
Yep.
Right. And it was Nick Bonacani.
Yep. Nick Bonacani. Great linebacker.
Hall of Fame linebacker. Yep. Unfortunately, he passed away yesterday.
Yep.
After a long illness and everything like that. And we know famously he did a tremendous amount of work, raised over $100 million. The Miami Project, dealing with paralysis when his son Mark was paralyzed in high school, I believe it was. High school or college? I think it was high school.
I think you're right.
Did a tremendous amount of work with that. It was a legendary football player, worked as a sports agent as well, Taz. But, I mean, worked on inside the NFL for 23 seasons. He was a tremendous football player, a great analyst, great in the Miami community. He kind of did it all around professional football, and it was sad to see that he passed away yesterday.
Legend, you know, legendary player and legendary in everything he did. As an analyst in studio, to your point, you know, he was amazing at
very likable.
Likable, and he brought you in the huddle. Like, he brought you in the game, he brought you on the field, educated, you know, like really was good at it too, and just seemed, like you said, likable. So you listened to him. And you knew he had credibility from his great playing days and stuff. So yeah, sad, you know, we lost a great one there, but he's great, great, great player for the Miami Dolphins years ago.
Yeah, and certainly thoughts and prayers go out to the entire Bonacani family on the loss on what was just a legendary individual on the sports scene and certainly in the community as well, and did great work in raising money with the Miami Project and helping to end paralysis here in this country. So fantastic. So thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family. All right, let's get to it. Here we go, the undercard.
Taz and the Moose present the undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, James, what do we got, bud?
One of these NFL holdouts not getting a whole lot of pub, but your Redskins, Trent Williams. Do you think it could turn into a trade, Moose?
Yeah, you know what? That's a good question. There are reports out of D.C. Now, Taz, we touched upon it, and you hit upon it. Anytime there's distrust between a player and a medical staff, it's hard to overcome that distrust. Look at exactly what happened with Kawhi Leonard down in San Antonio.
That's right.
With the Spurs franchise. Trent Williams, great left tackle. If you're in need for improvement along the offensive line, if you're the Jets, maybe you're the New England Patriots, he would be a hell of an acquisition because he's a great left tackle and has lived up to all the billing after being a high draft choice coming out of Oklahoma. I don't know if that situation gets rectified, Taz. I could see him getting dealt.
Listen, man, I got to tell you. I mean, I'm sure there's more to this, you know, but I don't know how, if you're not the organization, the front office of the Redskins, how, if it, like I said this last week on our show here, if it comes down to one of my players, nevertheless a great player, okay, compared to a trainer or a doctor that I'm paying, it's a no-brainer to me. Thanks for coming. You're gone. I'm not keeping a player. That's who draws the money. But look, I think this thing's been going on for a while. You were the first one talked about it here on our show. You're right. He's a great player. He's a great tackle. And I think this thing ends badly for the Redskins. I think he's going to be gone.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
And you mentioned it, you know, that would be a smarter organization, Taz.
How do you not do that?
I don't disagree.
Think about that. Think about what we're saying here. Yeah. Is this something we're missing? Like,
I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard anything else other than that.
I know.
I've not. And he's played hurt. He's played banged up. He's gone out there, and he's a really good player. I'll tell you, if you're one of these teams that've got the cap space to be able to take him on, and you need help along the offensive line or reshift a lot, he would make every offensive line in the NFL better. He's that good of a player.
You're right. And I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be mean, saying, well, this person is more important than that person, but that's the case. Okay, he is more important to that team.
No doubt.
Than a doctor or a trainer on that team. He's just more important. Right,
maybe he thinks it's a Redskin issue more than a doctor's issue.
Could be.
So maybe it's not just it's just this doctor, right?
It's got to be.
It's not just Dr. Taz. It's the entire organization. It's not just Dr. Moose. It's the entire organization. It's the way that they handle players. It's the way that they treat players. It's the overall mind. Maybe it's more about that, Taz,
it's
and the way
be.
That he was handled. Because that's the way I would look at it. Because if it's just an A and B thing, and I'm player A, and I'm a starting left tackle in the NFL, you know, I'm more important than the doctor.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
So I would think it's more about the mindset of the franchise and the way they handle players.
Because they're not dealing with the players the right way or handling them the right way.
Or he feels like he's not been handled right.
Right. So, and then he just feels like, the hell with this. I'm too good of a player. I don't have to deal with it.
Yeah,
deal with a team that's going to lose anyway.
Right. Exactly.
Sorry, Moose.
No, you're wrong. You're absolutely right, Taz. The season's over before it's begun.
I know. Hey, I'm a Bills fan. I get it.
Next.
Speaking of trainers, Joel Embiid's trainer went on Bill Simmons' podcast and says Joel has cut out the Krispy Kreme donuts. Fan of Krispy Kreme donuts? Fan of Joel Embiid cutting them out? What say you guys?
Well, I think if you're a Sixer fan, you want Embiid in shape.
Yes.
So I think that's a positive thing. I don't think Embiid at 7'1 or 7 feet tall, I don't think he's just taking down one glazed Krispy Kreme.
No, I could picture him. There's probably a dozen going in that big body with no problemo amigos. Tell you that right now.
You like burritos?
No. The thing is this. The Krispy Kreme donut I like better than the Dunkin' Donut. Dunkin' Donuts have great donuts, but in Krispy Kremes in the Northeast here, especially in New York, a little harder to find.
Very hard.
Than DD.
They still have one in Grand Central?
I haven't been in a while, but I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, there was there a while. I don't know if it's still there.
There was one on Long Island in East Meadow.
Oh.
A big one. And I don't think it's there anymore. And when they first opened, there were lines. I got to have my people look into this.
I went to a Krispy Kreme in Las Vegas.
Oh,
they were open up 24 hours.
That's nice in the heat. Stuff. That's great.
No, it was an air-conditioned place. It wasn't outside. They weren't making the donuts. So it was AC, right? But yeah, but here's the point. You know, you're having a good night, having fun, whatever it might be. You swing by, they were making the donuts fresh. So it was fresh out of the fryer.
Wow.
Krispy Kreme. Hot.
Good Lord.
It was.
Lordy B. Okay, so there's one for those in this. Like there's one in Jersey City.
Talking about donuts. Yes, there, I was on one.
And there's one at Penn Plaza by Amtrak.
Okay, so yes, Penn Plaza.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the one on Long Island's Gonski. I don't know what happened. I think the Dunkin' Donuts mob
got them.
Because they're everywhere.
It is. The glaze on a Krispy Kreme is the best. Amazing.
It's the best. So Joel Embiid.
It goes down very easy.
Yeah. Well, I could eat. 24 is no problem. My favorite one that I had there was the orange, the original filled original cream. It's like got like a white frosting on top.
Oh, yeah.
Original Frosted Jones. And there's also a cake battered donut. But it's phenomenal. I'm trying to pull up the picture of it. It looks like you'll like it. It looks like a Boston cream. Here it is. Look at that thing, dude.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Does it have cake batter in the middle?
It's basically, we love celebrating birthdays every day at Krispy Kreme, and a scrumptious cake-battered donut filled with cake-battered cream topped with your yellow icing and bright confetti sprinkles.
That is a sugar rush.
Tremendous.
That'll get you through your morning. That is a nice start to the day.
Put you in New York.
James, good job, brother. Yeah, Billy, good job. Bogus with the updates.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Taz. Good job, bud.
You too, sir.
Have a great Thursday, everybody. Till tomorrow. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.